It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and this week, I'm here to talk some Survivor Cambodia with you on robezawebsite.com. Today, I'm joined by a great man. They call him the Tabulator. He does lots of things with numbers and keeping polls up and various other things. I mean, he really is a jack of all trades. I mean, you can find him over at Post Show Recaps talking about scripted TV shows. You can find him on Rob as a Podcast talking about reality TV shows that get canceled. You can find him over at Reality TV Rehapups talking about international Big Brother shows, all sorts of stuff. He's a great guy. I love him very much. It's the great Kurt Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Survivor, third time's a charm. I think this is the third time we tried to coordinate this. So thank you for sticking with me. And third time's a charm, I'm here.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Kurt. No worries. I mean, I totally get it. I mean, Saturday's kind of a tough day to figure it out. And also, I was keeping the faith. I knew, first I thought, oh, well, I don't know, maybe it'll be the second time and like our Big Brother second chances with the Z podcast we did in the summer. And then that didn't work out. But third time's a charm. We figured it out. So I'm really happy that we got this going, because I was waiting for you to come on the voicemails this season. And I didn't get my Kurt Clark fix, so I had to get my Tabulator in on my show. So there you go. So very excited to have Kurt Clark here today. So we are live here on Blab for those of you who are listening in the audio archives. But those of you who are with us live, we can take your questions throughout the podcast. So if you want to leave a question, just go over in the chat, type in /Q and type in your question after that. We will also be taking your video calls probably about 45 minutes to an hour into this thing. So definitely stick around, get a webcam, talk to us on air. We want to hear from you. So definitely do that. And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Also, if you want to go over and you're watching this live and if you want to tweet this out and let people know that you are watching this, just click the little tell a little bird button on your left there. I'm actually going to go do that right now myself. And that way we can spread the word about this podcast, hopefully get more people checking it out and watching it live. So really excited. I mean, this week's episode wasn't the most exhilarating episode of Survivor, but I feel like that's partially because we've had so many really, really good episodes to pull from the last few weeks. And this season has just been fantastic. So I'm really excited to get into this, Kurt, and I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, let's do it. This will be great.
All right. So top of the show, I think. And also one other thing too, make sure you also follow us on Twitter as well. Kurt is at Kurt Clark. I'm at Jordan Parhar, and you can tweet us some questions there if you would like. Now let's just jump right into it. Kurt,
yeah.
Joey Amazing, he finally bites the bullet. And this is I don't know if you saw the Survivor Facebook group this week or the page, but people were losing their minds. It was there was a lot of people that were very upset about Joe going home. Kurt, were you a big Joe fan this season?
I like Joe as a person, but I kind of like my Survivor players to have to rely on some strategic chops. And I, you know, when he said back at the beginning of the merge that he was going to have to basically win out every single immunity challenge to make it to the end, it's like, that's not the sort of Survivor player that I actually necessarily want to see. I mean, he's definitely Joey Amazing. I think he'd be great to grab some beers with. But, you know, other than making, I guess the upside is that him winning immunity every time, everybody else had to play the game strategically. So I think that was the Joey upside. But yeah. I wasn't heartbroken that he was gone.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think a lot of people probably listening to this are. And that's a really good point. I like that idea, that notion of him winning immunity every single time. It forces the other people to think incredibly strategically, because they're always wondering, okay, like what's my next move? What do I have to do? And how do I react to this? That sort of thing. So yeah, having him in the game certainly makes it more interesting. And I think him being gone and removed, I think it might not be as exciting, but I think it's still going to be, it's down the stretch, but having that variable, that that Joey amazing, Joe Anglim in the game always made things interesting. And I think that it'll be fun to see what happens moving forward. But yeah, I wasn't too upset with him going home either. There was a lot of debate though, Kurt, this week about whether Spencer and Jeremy made the right decision, because there's talk of this girls' alliance starting, all this sort of stuff. Hypothetically, if you are in their position, if you're Jeremy or you're Spencer right now, do you make that decision? Do you take the shot at Joe while you have it?
I think that I would have had to, and I almost wish that, you know, if I was in their position, it's like, I'd want to go back in time and have Tasha not tell me about the girls' alliance. I think it was, they were all fine and dandy to do that until they heard that news from Tasha. And, you know, I mean, that's a separate topic on whether or not, you know, that was the right move for her. But I do think it was a move that they potentially had to make. We didn't see a lot of what Joe's plans were he to survive this tribal council. So it's a little bit hard to say whether or not he seemed to wholeheartedly throw in with Spencer and Jeremy, if that what his plan was going to be. But I do think that, you know, fool me once and not vote Joe out last time, that's great. But, you know, not vote Joe out for a second time, shame on you. So I think they had to take this move unless they were completely aligned with Joe, which they didn't seem to be.
Yeah, I think that the logic behind the decision totally makes sense. I think hindsight will be 2020, and we'll see what happens next week and whatnot. But just based on the information we have, I agree with you. I think that's probably the move that I would have made too, because we saw it already. I mean, he's a guy who could go and win four more immunities down the stretch, and then all of a sudden we look at the end of the game and, oh wow, Joe Anglim is the winner of Survivor Cambodia. And there was a lot of talk too about, oh well, what if Joe just wins 10 immunities and he wins the season and people vote for him? And last week Kaz was on the podcast and he was talking about how, well, I don't think Joe would necessarily, if he does win all these immunities, I don't necessarily think he does win. I think, however, though, if Joe managed to not win those immunities and still somehow get to the end, I think that he could argue, hey, look, I wasn't immune at the end of this game. I still got to the end. I won all these immunities. I had a social game. I played strategically. How do you not vote for me? And I think that he wins 100% hands down in that case. No, Kurt?
Yeah, I think him losing made him more dangerous. Him losing and potentially advancing made him more dangerous, just like you said. I mean, I know on the Tyson cast, you know, Tyson made the argument that you can't win that many challenges, make it to the end and not vote for the guy. I don't necessarily know about that. I mean, there's something to be said about he never had to play the game because he could rely on some physical gifts he had that other people didn't have coming into the game. I mean, strategically, you have the chance over 39 days to level the playing field in terms of the moves you decide to make and who you decide to align with and the social choices you make. But there's certain physicality you can't level the playing field on. And I think if it was seen potentially, especially if the argument was made by other people in the finals that this is what Joe was relying on, then I think Joe could have won all the challenges and still not won the game. But we'll never know. He's gone.
We will never know, Kurt.
And I don't mean to draw upon the ire of the internet by smiling when I say that. But like I said, Joe seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, he does seem like a nice guy. And like you said, I think he'd be a cool guy to have beers with. But I mean, he's strategically not the person that we're going to be looking at for that sort of thing. He's not the reason why we watch Survivor. But that, again, nothing against Joe. The target on his back, though, Kurt, this season, I mean, it was massive, right? I mean, there's been a handful of times where we have seen somebody come into a season like this and have a target on them that huge and make it as far as Joe did. So I think we've got to, you know, I'm tipping my cap to Joe. I think that he did a great job this season considering the circumstances. In your opinion, Kurt, how many people have had as big or a bigger target than Joe going into their Survivor season?
Going into their Survivor season. Wow. Off the top of my head, I'm not completely sure. I mean, I think he did a really good job of playing it down. I mean, we're watching it now. Everybody else is like fresh off the finale. The people that you're playing with, they just saw him, you know, play, you know, 13 weeks on the TV and then immediately go film with the guy. We had all summer to forget about what a challenge beast he was. So, you know, it may not be as fresh in our minds, but I think he seemed to do a really good job, at least with the tribe that he landed on. It's like he had a potentially big target. I think, you know, the size of the target is a little bit dependent on the size of the gun as well. And right at the beginning, only Fishback was gunning for him. And I'm not carrying that metaphor any further, except for the fact that, Fishback seemed to be the only person who was actually gunning for him at the beginning. And I think that spoke well to how quickly he hit the social game out of the gates. So I'm not trying to think if there's anybody who potentially had a bigger target. I think you might have thought, Rob Cesternino in Survivor All-Stars.
I think that's a great one. Rob in Survivor All-Stars, I think, is a really good one. I think everybody was gunning for Rob. He was pretty fresh off of Survivor, because Survivor Amazon, I think, had recently aired, and then they filmed in that summer. So I think that was the season. I mean, Pearl Islands had aired. I think they had seen a little bit of it, but that's still fresh in people's minds. For me, another one too was, I guess, Russell going into Redemption Island. I think he had a huge target on his back. And Hatch probably too going into All Stars. But beyond that, I don't know, Kurt. I think those might be, off the top of my head, I think those are the three big ones.
Yeah. Could you repeat, you froze up? Yeah. Could you repeat those for a second?
Yeah. Sorry. Russell. So I was going to say Russell in Survivor Redemption Island, Richard Hatch going into Survivor All-Stars, and then Rob Cesternino going into Survivor All-Stars.
Right. And none of those, I would say, it's because of challenge threats. That's the funny thing. And maybe a little bit of, you know, Colby went on an immunity run towards the end of Australia. And so, you know, maybe there was that thinking that in the back of his head, people's heads, when they went into All-Stars, but you didn't really necessarily get that sense. You kind of had a straight, even prior to Russell's Redemption Island season, you had for Heroes versus Villains. I don't know if you'd say a target, but a question mark in terms of who is this guy? Like, why is he suddenly, you know, with this group? He's on the Villains tribe. So there have definitely been some hurdles that people have overcome, but in terms of pure physical threat, you know, even, you know, Terry Dietz was a huge physical threat in immunity runs, and he wasn't really necessarily targeted as big as Joe was coming into the season. It was kind of a unique situation that we haven't really necessarily seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing in the chat, we've got Ozzy in Micronesia. I guess that's probably a big one as well. That's a really good one. Ozzy in Micronesia. Ceree in Heroes vs. Villains had a huge target on her back. Not a physical one, but just in general, target on her back. So I think, yeah, those are good ones. Perhaps maybe Boston Rob in Heroes versus Villains, but I don't know. Again, there was like the time difference. I think a big thing with Joe is that he was a huge challenge threat. People were scared of him, and his season had just finished. So he's fresh in these people's minds, and they're thinking about him. So really tough road for him to win this season. I think that I don't think there's really anything he could have done. I think that he was kind of just drawing dead from the start, and kudos to him for lasting as long as he did. Now, I think it's pretty safe to say, Kurt, that we're going to see Joe Anglim on Survivor again someday. I mean, we're going to see, unless Survivor gets canceled after, I hope it's not going to, but I mean, if for whatever reason, I mean, if something were to happen, then that would be the only way we wouldn't see Joe again. But I think it's safe to say we are going to see Joe Anglim on our TV screens sometime in the near future. So what does Joe have to do to win this game? Because he said on his exit interview with Rob that I think I can win this game. So what does Joe need to do to win the game, Kurt? Is there anything he can do?
Potentially if he identifies some really cocky, egotistical people to align with early in the game, like basically people who will think that they stand every chance to beat him in a challenge. If there's people who think that they could possibly, surmount his physical skills, you know, those are people that would potentially keep him around. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, the other thing is, I think he's a little bit handicapped by the selection of immunity challenges that the producers have been picking this season, because it seems like they're, you know, apart from the block stacking challenge, it's been of some variation on an endurance challenge almost every single time, whether it's balancing an idol on a pole or standing on a little teepee or holding something over your head. Yeah, it's all been kind of variations on the same thing. And I don't know if that's a purposeful choice. Like, for instance, if we'd seen the classic chopping block challenge, Joe would be gone first. And we do see lots of, you know, all the reward challenges have been team based in some extent. There have been individual team ones where there's like a multi-stage thing. And that's the sort of thing where I think we'd like to see, I'd like to have seen more of that. And I think those are the opportunities where if you kind of change things up a little bit, if you put a variation of things out there where Joe doesn't necessarily excel and he loses the first couple out of the gate or the whatever, I think he just has to lose some, but lose some.
Yeah, I think that's probably, I think time would be is a big thing as well. I think if we give Joe some time away, maybe come back for 35 or something or down the road, I think maybe that can help him as well. But if Joe is to come back for 33, I think he's in the same boat, I think, as he was last time, because we saw him kill it this season. He could have, if he didn't collapse there, who knows what could have happened, Kurt. He could have gone on and won all of them, honestly. And we'll see what these challenges are moving forward. But I feel like Joe could have potentially won all of these. So, it'll be interesting to see. But Joey, amazing. It's going to be tough for him. He'll have to get, as Taryn Armstrong is saying in the chat, he's going to have to get lucky if he's ever going to want to win Survivor. But before we wrapping up the eulogy on Joe, Kurt, game for your life right now, or it's Survivor 33. Your life is on the line. You got to pick one guy. Who are you picking? Yeah. Joe Anglim or Ozzy Loost?
In terms of who I'd work with, or
you're at home, you're gonna die, and there's and Russell Hance is like I don't know, or some evil mastermind.
Some evil mastermind
has tied you to the railroad tracks, and he says, "Well, Kurt, I'm gonna let you pick one person to play Survivor for your life. It's Ozzy or it's Joe. Who are you picking? What are you gonna do?
Joe. I would pick Joe."
Why Joe over Ozzy? Because for me, I feel like they're very similar.
I think they're similar from a physicality perspective, but I feel that Joe maybe has a longer attention span. But if you also have to kind of take into it, you know, who would go further in the game? I think there's a likableness around Joe that I just don't necessarily see with Ozzy. So I think he's got a more of a social game than Ozzy does. So if I had to kind of pick between those two, I think I'd put my more money on Joe.
Yeah, I hear you with that. I think too, the social game is what it comes down to. I just think like with Ozzy, I mean, it depends on what the format of the season and all that sort of thing. But if it's like leading a tribe in that, Ozzy seemed to do pretty good at that, even though a lot of people didn't really like him too much. So I don't know, but that would be an interesting one. Or Ozzy, I mean, maybe season 33 will be 10 seasons after 23, and we do Ozzy versus Joe. I think that would be a cool one to see, because yeah, I just feel like that they're very similar. Let's move on to let's talk about the family visit here, Kurt. So one of my favorite episode, or one of my favorite family visits in general, because usually we don't get to see people that we saw on the show before on these. And we got to see that this time, which was really cool. We didn't really get to see too much. Like, we got to see them, you know, hug each other at the challenge. We got enough to see the Spencer's I love you moment with his girlfriend, which was great. But we didn't really get to see after the challenge, after Kelly made her decisions and all that sort of thing. So who would you have liked to have seen a little bit more of, Kurt?
Oh, Farm Guy 69. Come on. I mean, seriously, you had to ask. I mean, he was probably the person out. I was most excited to see some Farm Guy 69 on my TV. So I was surprised we didn't get more insight into kind of the things that maybe nothing really went on. Maybe there was no game talk. Maybe there was no, maybe the, you know, nobody overindulged and got sick at the food on the food. But it would have been nice to see. We had a nice moment with Joe and his dad, obviously. It would have been nice to see a little bit more of the dynamics, like Keith and Big D and everybody else. But I definitely, you know, getting some Dale.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I tweeted Dale after the episode and I said, Dale, I wish you were on it more. I was so excited to see you, though. And then he retweeted it and it just warmed my heart. I was so happy because I love Dale at Farm Guy 69 so much. He's great. And did you watch the secret scene, Kurt? Okay, so there was a secret scene, and we there was a little bit more from that. It was only about like 2.5 minutes, though, so it was pretty short. But it did show all the families together, and Kimmy and her dad, and we got to see Joe and his dad talk some more. And then Kelly and Dale kind of went off on their own for a little bit, and Kelly explained what was going on and how she had two idols that she had found in the game, one she used and saved herself, and that she still had the other one that no one knows about. And Dale was giddy. He was so happy and just super excited. And he was like, oh my gosh. And he jokingly said at one point, he said, I wish I didn't come out here because she's doing so good without me. Like, I need to learn from her. I didn't give her any advice at all. She's fine on her own. So I was really happy to see that. It was a really cool moment to see with Dale and Kelly. But that made me think, how do you think Kelly would be doing if Nicole Cesternino's Periscope prediction was correct and Dale Wentworth being out there on this season? How do you think that Kelly would fare with her dad out there again?
In terms of like as a co-player?
Yeah, playing with like full, just like Blood versus Water. I mean, we saw that once. We saw one for Kelly. We're seeing how Kelly's doing we're seeing what Kelly's doing on her own, but let's say hypothetically Dale is on that season and playing with Kelly. How do you think she would have done?
It's really hard to tell. I mean, she kind of got a bit screwed last time based on the tribe swap at situation. She went home right after a swap. I think she would do, like, if there's no history from this season impacting this hypothetical season we're talking about, I think that if you basically kind of did Blood versus Water again with the two of them, I think it was kind of an aberration, and that she probably would do better if she had a second chance with her dad. But I think it all depends, like, is Dale still in the game? How long does Dale stay in the game? Who are they playing with? But I'd like to think that Kelly would do better if she had kind of had a second Blood versus Water.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I just feel like, I don't know, just Dale fighting with people and stuff like that. I don't know if that's so great for Kelly's game. But yeah, I think separately, I think that if, let's say, hypothetically, if we put Dale in this season instead of Keith and pulled Keith out, and we just ran it as is from the beginning, people not know, realizing at least how strong Kelly is, I still think she would have done great. I just think that maybe the I don't know. Who knows? Just that Dale variable would have just been interesting. It might have held her back a little bit. In terms of one other thing I wanted to ask you, Kurt, and I don't know if it, and this is something that I'm genuinely curious about. Do fathers kiss their sons on the lips and make out like that as frequently as Joe and his dad was doing? Is that like a common thing? Because like my dad and I don't do that. And I was just wondering, because like I was a little concerned. I thought, wait, is that normal? Is that a thing that actually goes on?
I thought it might have been one of those things where I didn't know if it was by accident. Like they both kind of like went in and they both thought they were going to go at one. I don't know. It was, you know what? It was an interesting approach. But you know what? I'm not going to begrudge the Angle family for some,
I thought it was actually, it was a cool moment. I just thought like, whoa, wow. Is that like, that's a thing. I didn't realize because I mean, I was a really young lad when the last time my dad kissed me on the lips, but but yeah, no, it was cool. But I was just genuinely curious about that. The decision by Kelly Wentworth to take everybody on the family visit other than Tasha, Jeremy, and Spencer. You like the move? Were you against the move? What do you think about her decision making there?
I think it made sense for her. I don't think there was any way that Kelly could have messed up other than not bringing Abby. I mean, if you don't bring Abby, you're screwed. And she knew who she kind of wanted to move ahead with. I think she had to bring Keith. She already had conversations about a women's alliance with Kimmy, so she had to bring Kimmy. And then maybe it was, maybe the only question is bringing Joe instead of Tasha. Like if she really did want to have an all girls alliance thing considered, bring Tasha. By bringing Joe, you're potentially, putting food in the belly of the person that you want to do poorly at the next immunity challenge. But you know, I don't know what her plans were with Joe moving it. If she had thought that Joe was going to keep on immunity, did she have other plans for him? I don't know. But other than that, I don't have any huge issues with it.
Yeah, and LES247 in the chat is saying on Twitter, she did say she didn't trust Joe alone at camp. So I guess that's probably where that comes from. Or maybe, Kurt, what I was thinking is that Kelly Wentworth is just an evil super genius and she just poisoned his food. And then that made him really dehydrated. And then he got sick and couldn't do the immunity challenge. So there you go.
Yeah, she kept feeding him, plying him with alcohol and not letting him hydrate. She kept the water away from him.
There you go. So there you go. Kelly Wentworth channeling her inner Russell Hance from Survivor Samoa, perhaps. There we go. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the only one was Tasha there. Although selfishly for me, I really would have liked to have seen Spencer and his girlfriend, because I think that was, we didn't get to see a lot of that. We only got to see a little bit of it and to kind of expand on that moment after the I love you. I think that was pretty cool. And, amazing call last week by, Kaz Kozdrowski saying that Spencer is going to say I love you to his girlfriend when she comes out there. I thought that would be amazing if it were to happen. I didn't actually think it would. And ultimately it did. So there we go.
That was a soft pitch softball. Of course he was going to, oh, come on. Don't feed Kaz's ego. That was an easy call. They set that up five episodes ago. Of course he's going to say it to her.
They got me. I thought it was okay. Good. So I was impressed. Okay. So beyond that, let's get into some strategy a little bit here before we get into questions. I mean, there wasn't too much strategy this week. Yeah. Again, we really have gotten spoiled. I mean, we've gotten to see, and not literally spoiled, but we've gotten to see so many good episodes in a row. We got that double boot episode. I mean, we got to see just a crazy merge and so many flip-flops and various things going on. And it's just been really fun to watch. This one a little bit predictable, but understandable. We got to have that at some point during the season. But back to the beginning of the episode, Kurt, we saw Spencer going back to work with Tasha and Jeremy after teaming up with Wentworth and company to take out Steven. What do you think motivated Spencer to make this decision?
You know, I think the most interesting thing there is the final three deal and whether or not that's authentic. Because I think there's definitely no danger in reapproaching them and reassuring them that it was Steven that he had an issue with and not necessarily the two of them. I don't know. And you can leave it that and say, you know, I definitely want to work with you guys moving forward. And I can't remember who it was on the group, if it was Jeremy, Tasha, or Spencer that initially brought up the final three idea. But even, you know, if it was Jeremy or Tasha, if Jeremy says, or if one of them had said that this is my final three, you know, Spencer has to agree to that. You can't say, let me think about that. That's pulling a Penner.
can I get back to you on that one, Kurt?
Yeah, exactly. I have a couple other offers to address first. But I think it made complete sense for him to go, especially, you know, we had a sense for how much Jeremy trusted Spencer. If Spencer had that idea as well, he can't just completely walk away from that. It's like, you know, patch up whatever cracks are there, form a good relationship with them. You never know. I mean, because you're at finals next week, this coming week, we're at final seven. You want to just make sure that you can vote along with them for a week. And obviously, everybody kind of wants Joe out. He probably saw that short term. He had no danger in promising Jeremy and Tasha that he'd work with them. But there's a certain point where you're going to, you know, you do have to kind of choose which final direction you're going to go. But I thought it made sense for him to approach them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They're in a position where, because it seems like, I mean, Spencer, I mean, if we're looking at it, if Spencer's approaching this as if, okay, I can play both sides or do this for one vote or whatever, whatnot, then yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense riding in the middle. But he's kind of, now with how that vote went out and now with this Girls Alliance thing, he's kind of pigeonholed into this. I feel like he doesn't really have anywhere to go. He's like looking around and it's like he's got Jeremy and Tasha, and that's about it at this point. Am I crazy to think that?
I don't know if he's necessarily pigeonholed. Like, if the Girls Alliance does become a thing, he definitely is kind of, you know, screwed. But you know, if he and Tasha and Jeremy and end up getting somebody else out next week, whether it's you know, if Kelly doesn't play her idol, or they get target Abby, or for some reason Kimmy, you know, if somebody other than the three of them goes out, there's still, I think, room for Spencer to potentially even maneuver there. I'm surprised that Spencer would want to go to the final three with a Jeremy, or a Tasha. I think he'd be looking at potentially a Keith, a Kimmy, or an Abby, but he doesn't seem to have ties with them. So it's interesting. I think there's still room for him to maneuver down the road if the final four women's alliance doesn't become a thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just think that the final four women's alliance, I think with how things are being presented to us, I think there's a good likelihood that we could see that. At least that would make sense if I was Kelly Wentworth or these other people. I think that might be the direction that I would probably try to go in. And it's going to depend on a few variables, and we'll see what happens, Kimmy Kappenberg and whatnot. But yeah, I guess if that's how we're looking at it, then certainly. Now, Spencer and Jeremy, they are in this position, though, now, Spencer and Jeremy, where they are relying on Tasha. They have to say, okay, yeah, Tasha, we need you. We need to rope you in. So in order to rope them in and keep them away from this girls' alliance, Kurt, what do they need to do? What's your approach if you're one of those guys in that spot?
I think the fact that they can't do anything. I mean, Tasha made the choice to come to them and tell them about this, to me, as a point of showing trust. Like, she could have just as easily not said anything, gotten the Joe vote out, and then told them the next week. And it's just, I think they need to take a look at the fact that Tasha chose to let them know at the time that she did as a sign that she is solid with them. But, you know, the trickier thing is, okay, that's three of them. Can they bring Kimmy back to their side? Has Kimmy truly committed to this idea of a women's alliance? Can they bring in Keith? And there's a lot of talk about how close Keith and Kelly are. So maybe that's something that, you know, can Tasha go to Kimmy and say, yeah, I know we've talked about an all women's alliance, but do you really think that Kelly is going to take out Keith? Look how close they are. I think it all depends on where they kind of get their fourth vote and you know, where the writing is on the wall. One good thing about this is that if the girls do try to take out Spencer or Jeremy, Tosh is probably going to know about it before tribal council and could very well tell them. It's a matter of, and then that brings the idol play into question. So Tasha is still kind of at the center of all this. And I'm just really curious if she is going to kind of stick with what it seems her intentions are.
If you are Tasha right now, Kurt, what do you do? What's the right move?
Honestly, if I was Tasha, I think I would need to get rid of Spencer or Jeremy. I really think that Tasha has a better chance of winning against the likes of Kimmy and Abby and Keith, maybe not Kelly. But I think that Tasha's worst chances of winning are with Spencer and Jeremy. It's just that she seems like, in both seasons we've seen her play, she seems like a loyalist. And I'm not sure she would go back on, especially Jeremy.
Yeah, that's actually that's a really good point that you bring that up, because I was thinking in my head, like, that is probably the way I would go. But if we're just thinking about who Tasha is as a player of Survivor and what we have seen of her so far, she is a big time loyalist. She's a huge, very loyal player, and she's never been really one to turn on her allies. Her really close allies, I should say. I think there's been instances, I guess, this season she voted against Steven, some other things with the big buy-on thing. But in terms of, you know, she's really close to Jeremy, and she's got a personal relationship with Spencer. So yeah, I feel like she might feel the need to go with those people just because inherently she just feels like she can trust them more. So we'll see what happens here. But I do think that I agree with you in your call. I think that going with those girls may not give her the best shot at getting to the final three, but it would probably give her the best shot at winning in the final three. And I think at I said this last week with Koss, you play to win the game. That's what you're here to do, right? And I mean, we hear Jeff Probst say stuff like that all the time. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be exciting. And the final seven is always a big week, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. So we're going to start taking some of your questions, guys, because Kurt, we can't go on a marathon podcast today because Kurt's got to go do his Top Chef podcast over on post-show recaps in a little bit.
We've got an hour and 20 minutes.
We do, but there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of people that want to come on. So, and I want to give you sufficient time, Kurt. Maybe let you go early so you can play some Assassin's Creed Black Flag after this thing. Get a little PS4. Are you a PS4 or Xbox guy?
I have a PS4, but I'm playing this on 360.
Oh, we're playing it on 360. Okay, yeah. There you go. Look at that. Kurt, he's well-rounded. He's got the Microsoft and the Sony. He's appeasing everyone. I like that, Kurt, very much. Also a PS4 guy here for anyone else wondering. Let's jump right into the question. So if you have a question and you want to leave it, just type /Q in the chat. We've already got some fired up already. I've also got some questions from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, so we'll get into that in a little bit as well. And we can also take your call soon as well. So we'll probably, if you want to call in, sending out the bat signal to my unofficial co-host Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, if you want to hop on right now, feel free. And just like that, drop of a dime, there he is. So Taryn Armstrong is here as well. He's just gonna get fired up here in a sec. Taryn, how are you doing today, man?
Good.
Okay, so there we go. Taryn has a little black thing on the top of his screen. We couldn't see him for a sec.
I got a new camera. It's not using it.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. See, that happened to me once too. I think if you just play around with it outside of it, we'll figure it out. Maybe in the after Par Hardy, we can play around with it and we can figure it out. okay. So let's, Taryn, you're doing good today.
Yeah. Doing great.
Thoughts on Joe leaving the game?
You know, I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to see him get the 5 immunities. I wanted to see him join the club. You know, we'll talk about Joe. He's one of the guys who won 5 immunities. I mean, at least he's got the record of being immune the longest. But I mean, you know, that's kind of like, that's not a great record. That's not a 5 immunity club record, right?
You want him to get he needs to get the thumb.
Yeah, exactly. You want to get the thumb in. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of disappointing he's not going to. But I'm sure he's going to come back and he's going to try again. So we'll see how it goes.
We will see. Yeah, he's got the Simpsons hand, not quite the full the human hand going on. So that's okay. Maybe next time for Joey Amazing. Let's hop into these questions here. I've got a couple from the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Here's one. This one's specifically for you, Kurt. This one's from Edwin Johnson, and he says, is Keith the Kurt Clark of Survivor? Keith was able to keep his poll up for quite some time, and as we all know, Kurt drives a Toto.
That's another thing. I was like, this is a great episode for me to appear on because it's about getting polls up, and that's what I do. You know what? I would be more than flattered to be compared to Keith Nail. So I can be the Keith Nail of getting polls up.
There's been lots of talk on RHAP this season of the future, how Marty Piombo is the future Spencer and Jimmy T is the future Malcolm. I think, can we say that Keith Nail is the future Kurt Clark?
You know what? Sure. Why not? I don't think I'm going to get anything better than that. So
how are you at carnivals?
Not that great. To me, I was actually thinking about that today, not because I'm like, am I Keith from another life? but like in terms of like the carnival games, like if I have to be compared to a carnival game player, I'd rather be maybe compared to Reynold in terms of just like, Kurt and Reynold, come on. But I'm not nearly Disney Prince enough. So I think I'll have to settle for Keith.
There you go. Okay. Well, I think being compared to Keith Nail rather than the great Reynolds is a lot better, Kurt. So there you go. But that's just my opinion. this is an interesting one. We got this one from Ariel Kalish Glassman, and she says, according to Joe's exit interview, Keith voted for Tasha only because Joe didn't have an opportunity to tell him he was switching his vote to Abby. Well, on the surface, this just looks like another shake my head Keith moment. he probably dodged a big Abby bullet, because we all know how Abby reacts when you write down her name. So she says, then by Tasha seeing her name, do you think that this alone may sway her to work with Jeremy and Spencer if she perceives her name was thrown out there as if she's on the bottom, a la Sierra earlier in the season with the whole Savage thing? What do you guys think about that one? Taryn, let's throw that to you.
I mean, I think Tasha's likely to work with Jeremy and Spencer anyway. It seems like that's kind of where she's leaning. I know Steven mentioned in his exit interviews that Tasha was fine with going to the end with Jeremy. So she doesn't seem like she wants to go against them anyway. And even if she did, you know, is she going to connect Keith's vote to, you know, Wentworth and Abby? You know, I'm not sure. So I don't know if it'll have that much of an effect, but I think she's going to work with them anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking if they need Keith's vote to move ahead, this actually might be something that gets her to go with the women. I mean, you know, she may very well guess that the vote for her came from either Joe or Keith. That may actually make it less likely that she would work with Keith and more likely that she would go to the women, because they need another vote. And, you know, I don't know, again, is Kimmy salvageable? Can they pull Keith away from Kelly? But I was thinking that as well, is not knowing that Joe didn't have time to tell Keith, which is great, by the way. the thinking I thought Keith had done was, well, I'm not going to write Joe's name down, and I'm definitely not going to write Abby's name down, because if Abby saw two votes come her way, then she would lose it. So that's kind of how I thought maybe the vote ended up on Tasha, but yeah, apparently not.
Yeah, apparently that's even too much thought process.
No, it was just simply did not have time to tell Keith to stick to the plan. So, yeah, that's an interesting one, though. I think that this could have some ramifications. That one was really that kind of got me thinking, and I was like, yeah, that is interesting. And yeah, when I watched the episode, I had no idea what happened. But yeah, there you go. But interesting you bring up the Kimmy thing, because I do think that, you know, Kimmy has not really been in a position where, you know, she has a lot of power in this game or anything like that. But I think that where she decides to swing next week could really change things. And that leads us into a question from Matt Ligori. And Matt Ligori says, is Kimmy going home next? Similarly to Monica's edit, Kimmy was shown maneuvering in the game this week. Monica was booted in the following episode with the whole Women's Alliance thing in the pre-merge. Is Kimmy going to follow in those same footsteps when Jeremy and Spencer realize Kimmy is leading the charge for a Women's Alliance to take them out? Well, I don't know if we know that for a fact yet, but hypothetically, if that's going to happen, do you think that this could lead to Kimmy's demise if she wants to make this girls thing a thing?
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I think it would be more advantageous to take out either Wentworth or Abby to remove the possibility of a women's alliance than to take out somebody who has shown some loyalty to you. I think the bigger nail in Kimmy's coffin is that she did vocalize, and I believe it was to Tasha, that we can't let Jeremy get far in this game. We have to take him out at some point. That's, I think, a bigger issue separate from the women's alliance thing. And I don't know if that particular phrasing has made it back to Jeremy yet. But in terms of I think take out some of the other women to remove the possibilities of women's alliance rather than take out Kimmy, whose vote you need in the short term.
Taryn, what do you think about that? And what do you think Kimmy's chances are of making it to the final three of this game?
I think she has a great chance of making it. I mean, I think she's got both sides very willing to take her to the final three. So it would honestly surprise me if she didn't make it. I was definitely concerned for her safety when she all of a sudden got a confessional in the episode on Wednesday. But she was only there for as long as she needed to be there to say, oh, Women's Alliance thing. And that was relevant to the plot of the episode. So I'm not sure they were necessarily setting her up for a fall like I thought they were. So I'm not too concerned. I think she's going to go far. Why bother taking out Kimmy right now? There are so many bigger threats on both sides. So, I mean, granted, you know, the biggest threats on either side have an idol. But, you know, then who's voting Kimmy as the second vote? Like, is Kimmy going to get idled? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I guess there's that's the one, I think, big possibility we could see. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Kimmy is pretty much a lock for final five. And I think that, yeah, unless she gets idled out or something like that, or something wonky happens, she's sitting pretty. And that brings up another question. Look at all these segues I'm bringing in today. This one is from the great Coach's Beard. And he says, if Kelly and Jeremy play or both play idols, could a stray nail determine who goes home?
I was actually just thinking this in terms of how Kimi could go home. I was literally going to say, if Jeremy cancels out votes against him and Kelly votes out to vote, Kelly cancels out votes against her, and Keith doesn't know what the plan is. And because Keith is honestly the only person I could see writing Kimmy's name down to get her out prior to like final four. And so that's exactly what I think could possibly happen in terms of how Kimi ends up going home, is that a stray vote from Keith Nail ends up sending her home and he doesn't realize what happens.
Yeah, Keith should be targeting Kimi and Abby because he's not going to win the game. But if they're out, he's at least going to make it to finals, and then he might get second, and that's some money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, then he's getting Big Brother Canada winning money. If
exactly. He can say he's basically a Big Brother Canada winner.
Yeah, I mean, the winner of Big Brother Canada, Keith Nail. There we go. I think that's a pretty cool honor. There you go. We have Jillian McLaughlin and John Party, Sarah Hanlon, Keith Nail. It's a pretty prestigious group.
Yeah.
There we go. And we've got a caller in. Here we go. This is John. John is calling in. So let's see what John John's up to. The great John John Rules is here. John John, your internet's a little poor, so I don't have you on camera. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
How's it going, man?
It's been good.
It's good. Okay, so do you have a question for Kurt, Taryn, and I?
Yeah, I mean, did you guys watch The Amazing Race last night?
I did not watch The Amazing Race last night, unfortunately. Kurt, Taryn, did you guys?
It's on my DVR right now.
Yeah,
yeah, I've not seen it yet.
I'll probably watch it.
Okay, right. So...
Yeah, I just don't want to spoil the question, but...
Okay, so is that a...
Appreciate that. Thank
you. Yeah, thank you, John John, for doing that. So do you have another question that's not Amazing Race related?
It's a little bit like Amazing Race, but what do you think of the backlash that Abby's been getting? Like, you know, do we need to, like, find a way to stop this thing that's been going on with the death threats and everything? I mean, it's the same thing that Justin and Diane has been getting, because that's a root team.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying comparing. So like on social media, the green team on The Amazing Race this season is getting lots of hate, and you're saying Abby is getting lots of hate as well.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's certainly a thing, and I feel like I think it was really amplified this week because Joe was at the tail end of it, and I think that a lot of anybody who goes against Joe is going to get some backlash on social media. But then if you go out calling him a what did you say? He's a moldy-haired clown?
Moldy clown, get a haircut.
Yes.
Yeah, like that's a little – that's – really? Joe, a moldy clown that needs a haircut? I mean, I don't know. I think Joe's a pretty swell-looking guy. I mean, he does – I don't think he's – he doesn't look like he's moldy. So I don't know.
I do agree. Allie Lasher on the voicemail segment said that she thought that, you know, because Abby had used the, you know, one rotten apple spoils the entire – you know, bushel, and that was where the mold reference came in. That's actually what I thought as well. Still, it's kind of a stretch. I just think it's unfortunate. There's nothing that can, I think, necessarily be done. I say this with all due respect to Abby, but luckily it's Abby that's getting a lot of it because I think she can handle it. I mean, like, I think about how Andy Heron treats the haters on Twitter, and it's like he finds it amusing, and I think as long as you're going to have people who can hide behind the anonymity versus the seclusion of the internet and just, you know, be not in the same room as a person, you're going to have things like this. It's unfortunate, and I don't think it should be I don't condone it, but it's
something. But like Abby, you know, did you saw her Periscope? She's like, you know, she apologized, but she said it's part of the game, like, you know.
Yeah, that's all she can do.
Yeah, and it totally is part of the game. And I think we heard in Joe's exit interview that him and Abby had been going at it for a little bit, and that's probably where some of that came from. But yeah, it's part of the game. And at the end, like, it's a game. She's got to do what's best for her game. And I mean, Abby is not the one you think of to make. Always make strategically sound decisions, but I think this time getting rid of Joe, I don't think it hurts Abby's game at all, because I think that frankly, it helps her game, because Joe is saying, hey, let's get rid of Abby. So it's good for her game. And yeah, it's just unfortunate that that's how people react on social media. But it's 2015, almost 2016. That's kind of the age we live in.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to be when, if it was back in 2000, like how the reaction will be.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just feel like, yeah, the internet just is filled with lots of vitriolic people. And that just tends to happen, unfortunately. You know, it is what it is. And like Kurt said, I think that Abby, if anyone can handle it, I think Abby Maria, she'll be just fine. So, but John, thanks for the question, man.
All right, go Bolts.
No, John. It's go Habs. Go Habs, go. That's what you got to get that right, man. It's the Montreal Canadiens, not the Tampa Bay Lightning. Okay, here's the great Tyler Cocuno at Survivor Tyler is here, coming to us live from his grandma's house in Cloverdale. Tyler, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Good.
Yeah, I think we're all doing well.
Yeah.
Good to hear. I thought let's ask a question and just get right into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. What's your question, man?
Well, since it's like final seven and the game's almost over, like all three of you can answer. Is there anyone in this game, or who is it that you just don't want to win? Like, this could really tamper the season, like if this person wins. Or if it's multiple people, it's saying multiple people.
And why am I not surprised that Tyler Cocuno comes in with a negative question that he wants us to bash people? Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. That's not like him. for me personally, I mean, I want somebody to win this game where I feel like I'm happy with, you know, with them playing a good, solid game. And just based on it right now, I feel like if Keith was to win the game or if Abby Maria was to win the game, I would be a little bit upset. Kimmy probably too, and nothing against them. Great people. But this is such a great season. I want a really good winner at the end of this thing. And I don't feel like those three would be really good winners based on what we've seen so far. Taryn, do you have anybody that comes to mind?
As far as I'm concerned, there's three potential winner candidates. It's Jeremy, Spencer, or Kelly. And, I think one of them is going to win for sure. So anybody but them, I'd kind of be disappointed. I think the edit wouldn't be right for it. I could, like, if Tasha stepped up her game all of a sudden, I'd be happy with her winning, and that's the only way I see her winning anyway. So, that's pretty much it.
What if Kimmy's Girls Alliance works though? Like, what if she does?
That would be fantastic. I would definitely applaud her.
I think Kimmy beats Tasha and Abby in the end. If she's final three with them,
if she pulls together the Girls Alliance and makes this move, I think she wins the game. I just don't think it's going to work because she hasn't been on her screen.
The only thing about that is, I don't know how much weight people would give just the initial idea. I mean, it's still four women having to agree to work together, and they all do have to agree to vote together. So while the spark was there, the follow through on it is reliant on four people. So I don't know if she could take all of the credit for it working. For me, it would be Keith, because I can't see him doing anything that on his own that gets him to the finals. He just gets taken to the finals. And honestly, if Kimmy or Abby were to win the game, it would mean that in the next several rounds of play, something huge had to have happened. And so it's kind of, you know, I guess results-based logic, but if Abby were to win, something that hasn't happened yet has amazingly happened. And so I'd be really curious what that was, but I could see Keith getting to the end and winning by default. And I'd be disappointed by that. But I could see Kimmy or Abby potentially doing something in the next couple of weeks that warrants their winning. Keith, Kimmy, Abby, and then Tasha, Spencer, Jeremy, and Kelly, I think, are the four that I'm hoping one of them will win. Huh?
That's fair.
Tyler, what about you, man? You didn't say who your opinion on this one.
I'll be pissed off if Kelly Wentworth wins. Don't want that.
Whoa, have you been hanging out with Malcolm?
No, Malcolm and our opinions are in line. Like, I listened to that podcast last time. It's like, oh, this guy's speaking to me. Like, we agree on almost everything.
Maybe it's because you're the next Mr. Survivor,
that's
Tyler.
What I think it is. No, I don't know if Survivor Canada is allowed into the Mr. Survivor poll.
Well, here, hold on. Well, Tyler, you, yes, that's right. So Ty, for those of you who are listening and don't know, Tyler was on the Survivor Canada YouTube series.
I was.
And spoiler alert, he made the finals. So Kurt,
I made the final six. Made the final
six. Okay. But Kurt, so
that's like final eight American, right?
Okay. Yeah.
in terms of conversion, right?
Yeah. I'm right where Joe is right now. I'm right where Joe.
Tyler, why don't you make your pitch to Kurt as to why he should be you should be allowed on the ballot for next season's Mr. Survivor?
You know, because it'd be pretty hilarious. I think that's my only argument. It'd be pretty funny if I was on the ballot.
Okay.
But, wait, what? Okay, no, you can go.
No, I want to hear what you have against Kelly.
What I have against Kelly? She's just no charisma with Kelly. Like, for me, there's nothing that's like endearing or entertaining about her. Like what Malcolm said, she seems very big brotherish and over the top. Like the whole, I'm throwing Terry under the bus. Like, doesn't do anything for me. I just kind of find her boring. And again, I'm with All Star seasons, I'm always kind of taken back by them, not the biggest fan. And the fact that Kelly's even on the season, and if she wins, it's like, okay, so that's another All Star winner where the person who came back and won was not a very good player the first time. And it's like, oh, well, that's all right.
I think you just don't want her to win because that means Drew Christie was right.
Yeah, sure. That's it.
Okay.
But I think I'd rather Kelly win than Spencer.
Wow.
What do you have against Spencer?
Yeah, what did Spencer do?
I've seen a lot of criticism of Spencer.
Well, I don't like his whole I need to learn emotion storyline. But I do like
is that his fault though? Like that's not like
no, that's not exactly that's not his fault. But if we're talking about the storylines and stuff like that, I do kind of like Spencer's Kageyan storyline. Like, you know, he tries and tries and tries, but doesn't win. Like, I do like Spencer, but there are some survivors out there who I think their stories are just better if they don't win. Like, I favor to like I love Big Tom. I don't want Big Tom to ever win Survivor.
Like, so basically Spencer's Big Tom is what you're saying.
Yeah, Spencer is Big Tom and yeah. Tyler Kakuno is Malcolm Freeberg. Tyler Kakuno, before hold on, Kurt, go ahead.
It sounds like you have more of an affinity and liking to the stories that come out of Survivor than necessarily the end outcome of any given game.
Yeah, exactly. I like the story.
That's fair.
Like, you know, because it was the whole Spencer and Cass, like, you know, Spencer always gets close but never gets it. It's a hilarious storyline. And if Spencer wins, it's like, oh, well, yeah, that's good. It was like Cochrane winning Caramon. It ruined it.
You wouldn't watch a movie where the character always comes close and then at the very end also always comes close and doesn't win.
Here, hold on. Tyler, I think I found your favorite show. You love the Pokemon cartoon because Ash Ketchum always makes it to the Elite Four with his Pokemon, and he loses. And then it's been 20 seasons of that in a row, and kids everywhere are like, oh, when's he going to win? Who's going to win? Finally, and then he doesn't win.
It's like if Charlie Brown ever kicked the football, he would become much less likable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
But I like succeeding.
And I want Abby to win. That's my goal. I know she won't, but Abby winning would make the season perfect. It'd be hilarious.
All right. Kurt, before Tyler leaves here, final verdict. Is he allowed to be on the ballot for Mr. Survivor next season?
I'm probably going to have to shoot this one down, Tyler. I'm sorry. But if there was ever a Mr. Survivor Canada, you can get back to me.
All right. Well, you just watch yourself in the patron group, Kurt. Just kidding.
Oh my gosh, that was quite the face you made there, Tyler. Tyler, thank you for the call, man. We'll see you in the after par party.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.
Okay, take care. All right, so there goes Tyler Kakuno. Wow, that was hilarious. Even a while, Kurt. That was like a Liam Neeson esque threat there that he gave you.
Yeah, Tyler has a very specific set of skills.
Trolling people in the Patreon group of Rob Has a Podcast and coming after you. That's great. Here's Andrew. Andrew, what's up, man?
I gotta follow Tyler. Shoot.
Yeah, you gotta follow Tyler. I'm sorry, man. Somebody has to.
Oh man, how are we doing today, guys?
Oh, we're doing good, man.
Definitely a good Saturday. I mean, we got title Saturday, a bunch of good college football games coming up.
Michigan State.
Yep.
The challenge is back. No, it's good. It's good, Andrew.
The challenge is back.
There you go. So what's your question for us, man? What do you think of the episode?
Like they said on the podcast, it wasn't the best one of the season, but it wasn't terrible. I thought, and is that anybody's fault but Joe? I mean, we all knew that the Joe Boot episode was probably going to be like a clear one.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, they can't all be blindsides.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately.
So my question is, down to final seven. I mean, we haven't seen. I mean, we don't know who the definite number one seed is of winning this thing, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, again, I think
the season's so good.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, like what Taryn was saying earlier, is there's probably three or four front runners, depending on how you're looking at it. But yeah, certainly the number one seed each week seems to be switching week to week.
Bill Jeremy.
I mean, the last two seasons, I mean, we all knew that if Mike made it to the end, he was going to win.
Right.
We all knew more than likely that Natalie, once she got John Mish out, she was going to win.
Natalie, I feel like if she got to the end, I felt like she was going to win. I was always concerned if she was going to make it. I was thinking, and somebody was saying this in the chat earlier when we were talking about Keith Nail. I thought Keith Nail was going to win the season at one point. So, I mean, that one maybe not so much. True. But in terms of, like, I hear what you're saying, though. Like, strategically, if she's sitting in the final three, you knew that Natalie was probably going to win. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, yeah, like you said, with Mike last season.
And the only thing about this season is, like, the only reason that I have to suspect that Jeremy has a great chance of winning is that Jeremy has told us that he has a great chance of winning in terms of he wants to play down certain elements of his story and he doesn't want to let people know. I mean, it's other than the fact that, I guess, you know, I think it was Kimmy was the one that was saying that, you know, we have to get Jeremy out at some point, but I'm not sure what Jeremy's done other than be good to people, be nice to people. I'm not sure what he's done to necessarily earn a win.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because, I mean, he hasn't won individual immunity yet, but he's gotten two idols. So
yeah, we've seen a lot of
that's true. He had some idol play.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of like active strategic moves from him apart from the very beginning when he sets himself up. And I think it's strange because I think he's been succeeding because of how he set himself up and the relationships he has. And I feel like they're having trouble showing that in the show.
Mm-hmm. That's your point.
I think for me, and then I got one more question after that. I think that the most satisfying winner would be either Wentworth or Spencer.
Interesting. Okay. And why not Jeremy?
I want Jeremy to win. Jeremy's one of my favorites. He was, I did a fantasy draft with a couple of my friends, just like you did, Jordan. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy was the number one pick. So, I mean, okay. I wouldn't mind seeing Jeremy win. But as far as the edit goes, I thought we had a winner's edit from Spencer Wednesday night. Being like, going up to Jeremy and Tasha and being like, oh, this is the final three?
Yeah, Spencer did have a really good night last night.
He did.
The only thing that makes me think he has less of a chance than Jeremy is that they haven't been as consistent with showing Spencer throughout the entire season, but he definitely picked up a lot last night. So I think he definitely has, I think he's number two for sure.
And not to mention his girlfriend is gorgeous. Just got to put that out there.
Andrew had to get that in there. One last question, Andrew, you said.
Oh, no, it totally slipped my mind.
Oh, no.
No, I think I'm good.
You're good. Okay.
I'm just saying, looking forward to next week, Boston Rob on the podcast. Rob has a podcast.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm super pumped too. Yeah. That was, I remember the first time Boston Rob was on RHAP. That was like one of my most exciting moments in my life.
Now I got it.
You got it. Okay. There we go.
If you were Jeremy and Spencer, what would your pitch be to try to convince Keith to come over to your guys' side?
Oh, to convince.
It'd be very difficult.
To convince Keith. Keith is a tough one. I mean, I don't know. Taryn, what would you do?
I think what you have to do is say, hey, listen, Tasha told us that there was a girls' alliance. There's three of them. You know they're going to take you out before the final three. You come with me and Jeremy and Spencer, and we'll take you to the end. It'll be the three guys. We won't have any incentive to turn on each other because we're all big targets. I think that's, I mean, but I don't know how well he's going to respond to rational logic. I think it's going to come down to who has a better relationship with him. And I don't know who that is because we haven't really seen.
He'll be like, well, this is the first time I've heard of it.
Kurt, what do you think?
I think, yeah, you have to use the Women's Alliance as leverage. But I feel like if you just told him, then he might ask Kelly about it and she'd deny it or something. Like, you almost have to have a discussion with Kelly and Abby about it while Keith is within earshot and pretend you don't realize that.
You pull a Sandra.
Like, yeah, exactly. So, like, or have Keith, like, wait in some, like, spy shack and talk about it there. But you need Keith to overhear Kelly talking about the Women's Alliance in order for him to realize this is a thing and then to be approached.
Okay, well, I'll let you get to the other callers, Jordan. Appreciate you guys having
Thanks
me.
For the call, Andrew. Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, take care. So there's Andrew. And now there's a huge debate going on in the chat right now, who people want for Mr. Survivor. So we'll get into this, maybe some Mr. Survivor discussion in a little bit. But here's Eric again with his son, Kieran. Right, we'll see. Hi. He was in the pre-show. Hey, guys, what's up?
Say hi.
Hi.
Hey, Kieran. Hello. Hey, Eric. How's it going, man?
Oh, yeah! Kieran.
and for those of you watching this,
say hi to Kurt.
Hi, Kurt.
And that's Taryn.
Hi there.
Hi, Taryn.
And there's Jordan again. Say hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Kieran.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah, what's up, Eric?
My final 3D thought, and this is something, it would be Spencer, Abby, and Wentworth. And here's why.
Ooh, okay.
Because those three were on that original Takeo tribe. And you know how few Takeos were left after, you know, coming into this merge. There were 9 of them. And then another one, Abby does have a story, and so does Tasha, if they can get rid of each other. Because Abby and Tasha were on that Angkor tribe, the basically, you know, nothing, and they had to go through. And Abby has been surviving all these tribal counselors. So I just think that they actually do kind of have a story. I mean, maybe it's not as good as, and it maybe doesn't have as many guns on their resume. Okay, fine. You can look at him. He's cuter than I am. It's a resume than the other ones do, but I think that, you know, they do have a story there to kind of get into the you hit your head, didn't you?
For those of you watching or listening in the audio archives, Eric's here with his son Kieran, and Kieran just hit his head on the webcam or the computer monitor or something. But definitely come back and watch this on Blab because it's very funny. But Eric, that's a really interesting point. I like that. You know, I right now I don't know if that is necessarily how it's being set up just based on the edit, but that does make sense. And we certainly could see that. It would just require the girls thing would have to fall apart, and the Spencer and Jeremy Tasha thing would have to fall apart.
I could very easily see that happening if Spencer flipped over to the girls.
Sorry, Spencer working with Wentworth quite a bit. And they were also originally part of the castle.
Oh, I did it again. My headphone hit this again.
The cast kind of let Spencer vote, you know, with the others because she realized she didn't have enough, but they're still part of that kind of group. So I don't know. It's, you know, kind of, you know, just something thrown out there.
It's definitely an interesting point of discussion. Kurt, what do you think about that idea, that final three?
The only thing is, I don't know if it makes sense for all three to want that. Like, I think that, for instance, I'm not going to talk about Abby's mindset, but I think, you know, you think that Kelly and Spencer would potentially be thinking that if it was just Kelly and Abby and Keith, I think then you could make kind of paint a story of, you know, we were kind of part of that original group that was down in numbers. That's a story that can help me get votes, but I don't want Spencer to also be able to benefit from that same story. So I'm like wondering, Keith has had protection this entire time. He's been part of a strong alliance, so he just kind of ended up here. So I think it would be an interesting story. I think it would potentially not be in all three people's best interest to have a final three from that original group.
Yeah, I think the only way that happens is if Spencer flips to the girls and then goes on an immunity run, and they can't take him out
I
before
got
final three.
Friend in me.
Yeah,
I think
good. Getting some songs here from Kieran.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye. Thank you for the call, Eric. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. See you next week. Say goodbye, Jordan.
See you next week.
Bye, Jordan. Right.
Take care.
So that was sorry, I cut Kieran off there. There goes Kieran. What a great call there from Eric and Kieran. That was awesome. But that's an interesting thing. I kind of like that idea. I think that would be a fun final three. One last thing on that is I don't know also if Kelly – I think the immunity run thing makes sense, Taryn. I don't necessarily think that Kelly would want to go to the final three with Spencer.
She's trying to get him out for sure.
But yeah. I think she's going to be trying to get him out, yeah. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Let's take another text question here. Let's see what else we got here. Although I think my slash Q questions are not working for some reason, so hold on a sec. I can jump actually to the patron questions because I've got a few more. I've got one here, and this goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier. This one comes from Edward Morris, my buddy Edmo, and he asks, guys, will this be the strongest Mr. slash Miss Survivor campaign yet?
I think, well, it depends on how much people want to participate. In terms of possible contenders for it, I think it's up there. I actually shot Rob a note earlier. I think, I can't remember, it was yesterday or the day before, because he had mentioned, you know, potentially looking at a different way to structure it. The thing that I'm facing as the tabulator is how to make sure we get enough spotlight on Worlds Apart, because I, you know, it's going up against an all-star season that's been really great. That's going to have recency bias. You have returning players. Between the recency bias and the returning players, there's going to be a lot of focus on that. So I'm trying to figure out, do you have like a quota of, you know, top two or three from each season, and then in order to get to the finals? I don't know how that's going to necessarily work out, but I think it is going to be a very strong field. And I saw in the chat, John Rules asked, is Spencer disqualified? And no, he's not disqualified.
Well, like, do we have a way of, like, do you know what the interest is? Because I think I've seen Spencer said he might, you know, like, drop out because he's, you know, he's the reigning Mr. Yeah. Survivor.
Spencer told me he has no interest in campaigning for this. My response to him was, this wasn't for him. This is for the fans. And so he doesn't have to participate. He can decline. He can decline to participate once he's voted in, a la Tony, who then changed his mind. But I'd say, like, we're not removing anybody from the initial rounds of voting. I think once we kind of get to the rounds of debates and to the final vote, people can choose not to participate if they don't want to. But we're not removing anybody's name from the initial round.
Yeah, because I like people like Spencer and Steven, they probably feel like we don't have anything to prove, you know? Like, they're probably like, if we go and then we lose the vote, that's kind of embarrassing. But if we say, if we decline because, oh, we'll just get too many votes, then people will just assume we would have won. That's what I would be thinking.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting point. I'm trying to think, like, there's a lot of really good people. Like, we're talking, if Steven, let's say even Steven and Spencer don't really even try, they're still going to get a ton of votes. Then there's Jeremy. I don't know if Jeremy's down, but if he's down, Jeremy will. Joe, Rodney, Mike, Max Dawson,
Varner.
I mean, like, a huge amount of people. So I think there's a lot. And then on the women's side, I mean, Kelly Wentworth again. I mean, Cass, Tasha. I mean, Cass, we could have Kelly Wentworth and Tasha in the finals again. That would be interesting.
And Jordan's running out of steam. No, I'll be completely honest. I think the Mr. Survivor field is a bit stronger than the Miss Survivor field this year. Just a top of my head, who comes to mind? I think it was a lot more balanced last year, which is why I kind of want to make sure we don't forget some of, like, you know, Mama C and some of the other characters from last spring.
Shireen.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, she was on this season too.
Yeah, so there you go. Get Shireen.
Did she get two spots on the ballot?
No. I thought about that. If we end up doing some sort of quota from each season, does that mean Joe and Shireen each appear twice? I was like,
steal votes from themselves.
I turned my computer off and drank a beer at that point.
There we go. And here's Fuggy Bootenwick. Yeah, right. Fuggy's back on the line. Fuggy, how you doing, man?
Yeah, pretty good. Having a good day.
Good. What do you think of this
beautiful
week's
day out? If you're in Ontario or in the northeast, like, it is phenomenal outside. I was outside for a couple hours today. It's like 9 degrees and sunny in December. It's amazing.
Wow. And that's 9 degrees Celsius for our
Celsius,
friends.
Celsius, yes.
So that's like, that's so relatively
48
warm.
Degrees Fahrenheit, yeah, to the translation.
I just have to like take the context of what you're saying. That probably means decent weather. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What, you're in Texas, aren't you, Taryn?
No, I'm in Boston.
Oh, Boston. Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It's 49. So you were pretty close.
Yeah, there we go.
It's 42 here.
I know my conversion. Come on. listen, I wanted to call in and just highlight the Survivor Historians that just came out.
Okay.
The email that Jay Frischer reads, who it's up on the Facebook group, and my light is coming through the window. That's not
there.
Good.
We go. Yeah, it's a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with that angle. anyway, so Mary Lanza got some very reliable source close to production talking about exactly what the background is on Survivor Cook Islands, and listening to that, I had to listen back to it twice because it will make you look at that season in a completely different light. That basically Jeff thought the whole race thing was a terrible idea and that it would actually crash the franchise, and that this would be a good thing. He can move on to other stuff that he wanted to do. But then they got into it and it sort of started to look like the white people were going to dominate the season, and they were panicked out of their minds. Like, to the point where they were like at the point where having them all sign non-disclosure agreements and just give them all $1 million and forget the season ever happened was actually on the table. It is stunning. You guys have to hear this.
Wow. Yeah. So Kurt, Taryn, if you guys haven't, I saw this. I haven't actually gone and listened to
it.
No,
I haven't heard this.
I'm so far behind on my Survivor Historian podcast.
Oh, I'm going to blaspheme here. I really enjoyed TOS, really enjoyed it. But to me, Survivor Historians, absolutely the better recap show. I'm sorry, Rob and Josh. They really did a good job. But
shots fired by Fuggy Bootenling. Oh, my goodness. There you go.
They're different. I hate to say it, but it's true.
The great thing is people don't have to choose. They can consume everything.
Yeah, there you go.
Like don't get me wrong. Like, I thoroughly enjoy TOS. I still haven't downloaded part 3 because, to me, I didn't need to hear a recap of a recap, if that makes sense. Like, maybe at some point in time, I'll get around to listening to it, but and I probably will, because it sounds like it's parts of it are really quite enjoyable. And like I said, I really liked the job that they did. It was really fantastic. But Survivor Historians, like, all the way for me. I love listening to it. And Mike Bloom, so good at it. I emailed in when they did the open tryouts for it. I emailed in and went, hey, you know, well, me, I've been watching the show for a long time. I wrote about it for Survivor News and Joker's Updates at one point. And I missed the email where I was going to try out to be the temp. And it's like, well, that sucks. You know, I'm glad Mike Bloom got it. He couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way you got to look at it, Fuggy, is like, that sucks for you because it could have been you, but you gave the world Mike Bloom. So that's there a pretty, you, I mean, you sacrificed yourself for Mike Bloom. That's how I look at my Big Brother game, is I sacrificed myself to give the world Godfrey Manguisa. So it was all worth it. It was all worth it in the end.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, Fuggy. I definitely am going to go check that out, though.
You have to hear this. Like, I listened to it, and I was just, stop for a second. Okay, I gotta rewind this and listen to it again before I listen to the rest of the podcast. It was just mind-blowing. So anyway, yeah, take care, guys. I'll be
all
watching.
Right. Yeah, you have a good one, man. So there's right. Fuggy Bootenling. Yeah, that's it. That's an interesting that's really interesting. I did see that, but the $1 million being like non-disclosure agreements and $1 million for each of them. I mean, wow, could you imagine what would Cowboy do with $1 million, Kurt?
I don't know, but it would not last long.
Start a headache clinic.
Or Billy Garcia with $1 million. Could you imagine how many Twitter followers he would have then?
That's a follow train right there. You could really...
He could orchestrate an elaborate proposal to Candace.
Yeah. Ooh, that would actually, that maybe that would work. Who knows? Who else was on? There's a lot of interesting characters on that season.
Penner.
Penner with $1 million.
It introduced Penner to us.
It did, yeah. So like,
so that, much of Survivor history would be changed if this happened.
Yeah, we would have no Parvati. We would have no Penner, no Ozzy, no Yule. I mean, yeah, that would
Micronesia and Penner, Heroes versus Villains would be completely different.
Yeah,
would Penner have replied? I'm a storyteller. That's not what I do, and decline $1 million.
This is a quantum leap scenario right now.
Yeah, it really is. So we got to get Kaz on the line. There we go. And John in the chat is saying it will be bollocks. I believe John means it will be that's bollocks and you know it. Yeah, that's a really interesting point of discussion there. Now I want to talk about we could go on a whole podcast about that. I think maybe that's an off-season podcast we need to do, Taryn.
I agree.
All right. What was I going to? I had another thing that I want to talk to you guys about. The Survivor Hall of Fame. The voting closed this morning. Who did you guys vote for the Survivor Hall of Fame? I'm just curious, Kurt. Who was on your ballot this year?
I've never voted in the Survivor Hall of Fame.
All right, breaking news: Kurt does not care about the Survivor Hall of Fame.
I run polls. I do not participate in them.
He's too good for those lowly polls.
No, he's only doing we're only doing tabulator-esque polls. Taryn, then I'll throw that to you then. Did you vote this year?
No, I didn't either. I haven't voted in it. I don't really care about it either, really.
Oh, wow.
To me, that's not something I have any interest in. If it was like Survivor Hall of Fame of strategists, I would care. But if people are like, yeah, Rupert should definitely be in the Hall of Fame, it's like, I don't care about Rupert. Why would I care about the Hall of Fame, you know?
No, that's a fair statement. Okay, well, then I guess
– I take it you voted, Jordan.
No, actually, believe it or not, Kurt, I did not vote because I forgot. So I was going to ask you guys who you voted for, and we could talk about it. Like, oh, yeah, I voted for this person and this person. But none of us voted for the Survivor Hall.
I did see there were a lot of people who were like, oh, who would vote Tyson? I don't know who voted Tyson, but I would vote Tyson. So screw you, all you people who said who would vote Tyson.
I think Jeff Probst voted Tyson, so I think that's where that came from.
Well, good for Jeff Probst.
Oh, man, good old Jeff Probst, JP. But okay, that's so I guess we don't really need to discuss that then because none of us voted.
Taryn's face is frozen on my screen right now in the most I could care less face. It's kind of awesome.
Can you still hear me? My entire screen is frozen.
Yeah, we can hear you. Mine's been lagging too. There goes Taryn. Maybe I'm going to fall off the face of this thing soon too, Kurt. Hold on.
No, I see you.
You can see me. Okay, so that's good. Okay, well, maybe that's a time that we should maybe start to wind things down here, Kurt. I do have two last questions. Actually, there's three questions for you. Sorry. freezing at
Spanish Inquisition.
Yes.
Three things.
So there's a two-part question here. This one is from the great Ron from Toronto, Ron Chan, Kurt. And he says, first, Jordan and Kurt, what has a better chance of happening? Spencer winning this season of Survivor or Spencer being the first two-time winner of Mr. Survivor?
The first one, the former, him winning the season.
Winning the season. There we go.
Only because I'm pretty sure that if he makes it into the finals for the Mr. Survivor competition, he will decline. I think there's a non-zero chance of the first thing and a less like almost zero chance of the second thing.
What if Kurt, what if he's pulling a Frank Underwood and he's just trying to pull the wool over our eyes and saying, no, I'm not going to run for another term. I'm not going for re-election. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, boom. He is running again. I think that would be an interesting point of or a strategy that he could use if he wants to win. And there's Taryn. He's unfrozen again. Okay, and his new camera's working, so there we go. So we're taking a two-part question here, Taryn. These are both for Kurt though. So just sit tight for a sec. But this second one is also from Ron, and he says, Kurt, besides appearing on the Happy Hour, was the highlight of your 2015 podcast year when Tony Velotchkos mentioned the Kurt Clark curse during his Mr. Survivor interview?
He was coached in some way. He has no idea what he's talking. If he had any idea what he was talking about, then maybe.
But
no.
Who was coaching Tony? Because Tony was far removed from the whole thing. Like, I have no idea who coached him to say that.
I Yeah, no. Like if you ask him, well, what is that Clark curse you just mentioned? Oh, I don't know. No, the highlight was, I'd say, having to take the brunt of Keishagate for Big Brother Second Chances when you and I and why we did not cast Keisha. I think that was the highlight, which also featured Jordan Parhar.
There we go. I remember we got a lot of, and it was funny at the time. Like, oh God, we got a lot of backlash over that, and I hadn't really done a lot of podcasts yet in my career that were recorded. Most of them were in the BB house. We got a lot of backlash over Keisha. I didn't realize there were so many hardcore Keisha.
It was
fans.
A glaring omission.
So there we go.
You're not helping.
Terrence and Hablin are cause. But back to the Tony thing, I just want to say that was probably for my podcast listening year. I think that was probably, I was leaving. I remember distinctly where I was that day. I was I was training for Big Brother Canada 3. I thought, I should probably get in like somewhat decent shape beforehand. And I was leaving my gym and I was driving my car and I was at an intersection. I was turning left and I had like my protein shake in my mouth. And Tony's like, look, I could have this, the Kurt Clark curse. I'm going to have to be like Kurt Clark. And then I just like spit out my drink. I was laughing so hard. I thought it was so funny. I mean, that was just amazing by Tony. But yeah, who knows who coached him on that, but it was quite hilarious. Okay. And then last question, Kurt, before we get out of here today. This one is from Marianne Curtin and she asks, Kurt, are you going to be doing another Celebrity Big Brother UK podcast? I think it starts up in January. I personally don't know when it does start up. So just the thoughts on when your reality TV wrap-ups career will reignite.
If you've not had enough Kurt Clark after this podcast, just to give you a rundown, as Jordan mentioned at the top of the show, we are actually returning with the Top Chef podcast. Mike Bloom, Antonio Mazzaro, Josh Wheeler, and I think Josh isn't able to join this first one, so we're going to be recording that. That's going to be coming out. Mike Bloom and I, of course, are covering Once Upon a Time. The finale for that is this weekend. But Celebrity Big Brother UK returns, I believe it's the first week of January, and I've been chatting with Mark Slayer about that. We are planning on covering that. If rumors are to be believed, we have a Vanilla Ice Hulk Hogan combo in the Big Brother UK house in January.
Wow.
But they rumors for the cast are always all over the place, so we'll see if that is to be believed or not. But usually there's like one person who's an American in the house that I recognize. In this case, it might be two. So, So cross your fingers for Big Brother, for Mark, what's Vanilla Ice's real name? Is it like Mark Van Winkle or something?
It's something Van Winkle. It's a very strange name.
Rob
Van Winkle. Yeah.
So Vanilla Ice, Hulk Hogan. And then to answer, there was a Big Brother Australia from Mitch in the chat room. I do not believe Big Brother Australia is coming back.
Oh man, the curse of Kurt Clark. Oh, maybe Kurt will do. And I saw earlier in the chat, Adam Rita was saying, Kurt, please do not do Survivor Australia.
I have a friend from Australia who's thinking about auditioning for that, so I may have to start watching that.
Uh-oh. There we go. So there we go, Marianne. There's your answer. Kurt will be back soon with the great Mark Solera. Mark's awesome too. It's too bad that with him too, there's a new Mark Solera curse, I guess, with King of the Nerds.
Oh, that's not coming back.
No, it's not. It got canceled, which is really disappointing. So
yeah.
Because yeah, I love listening. Brendan Noel and Mark Solera did a really good job covering that last year. Hopefully they get another show, or maybe I know there was talk of them trying to revive it. So who knows what'll happen, but for now it is no longer a thing. But anyway, Kurt, Taryn, thank you very much for joining me today. Any final thoughts before we want to wrap things up for today?
Yeah, you know, again, just glad I could come back for an episode where they're getting their polls up. I figured that's something I can speak to.
Taryn, anything you want to sign off on?
I'm really excited for the rest of the season. I feel like even though we had a slow episode this week, there's so many variables and people that are up in the air that go either way. I feel like we're still going to get some crazy action going down, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, we needed a breather. It's fine. We can't have breakneck pace the entire time. This was a good catch your breath, gear up for the final weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think this is – now we can race to the finish. We're heading into the third act of this season, and it's going to be big and exciting. And you are it's big, it's beautiful, and you are going to love it, as Jeff Probst would say. But it's going to be great. I'm very excited. You can follow Kirk Clark on Twitter. He's at Kirk Clark. Check out all the things he's doing. Yeah, post-show recaps. Rob has a podcast and reality TV wrap-ups. There's plenty of things going on there with Kurt. And you can follow Taryn as well. I'm sure you already are, though. He's at Armstrong Taryn, and you can catch all of his hot takes on Survivor, Big Brother when it comes back, various other things. So definitely give those guys a follow if you're not already. I'm at Jordan Parhar. If you want to support the show, subscribe via iTunes or through whatever podcatcher you have. But the quick link that I give out always is robhasawebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Or if you want to get this podcast, the Top Chef podcast that Kurt's doing, all of the challenge recap podcasts that Ali Lasher, who was on the voicemails this week, and Brian Cohen do, you can subscribe to Reality TV Rehap-Ups on iTunes as well. That's robhasawebsite.com/rehap-ups. That's RHAPUPS. And also follow us on YouTube. Subscribe, Reality TV Rehap-Ups on YouTube. Next week, I will be back with a guest live on Saturday on Blab. Have not locked down the guest yet, so who knows? We'll see what happens, but it should be a fun one. We'll figure it out. It's going to be previewing the preview show before the finale, so it should be very fun. I'm excited to do that one, and I've got some time off of school for a little bit, so you might be seeing some more happy hour podcasts randomly within your podcast feed, so be on the lookout for that. We'll see. I think we'll get the old Big Brother live feed correspondence gang together shortly to do another rankings thing. So I'll chat with Taryn and Alex Kidwell and Brent Walgamont offline about that. Hashtag for the episode today, guys. We saw a few. I saw there was hashtag Poke Parhar because they made the Pokemon reference. I don't know if there's any other ones you guys can think of off the top of your head, or someone in the chat.
I do like Poke Parhar.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Poke Parhar. Okay, so we're going hashtag Poke Parhar for today.
I don't know if it's helping you get dates, but I like it.
Yeah, probably not. But you know what?
Not pronounced that way, at least.
No. Yeah, that's okay. No, yeah, that's the thing, is people who just see it on Twitter are going to be like, oh, it's Poke Parhar. They're not going to realize. Yeah. They're not going to. We won't have the accent aigu on the E. Yeah, we won't
have that. Did you say accent aigu?
I did say accent aigu. Yes, I did take French class. Nice Canadian. I'm Canadian. I do know my accent aigu, my accent grave. Yes, my Francais comme ci comme ça. But you know, I try my best. So anyway, thank you guys, all of you watching us live. We will be here, Taryn and I, to do the after Parhardy. So stick around if you want to check that out. We'll be here for a little bit taking your questions. So looking forward to seeing you there. We'll see you next week on the podcast. So thank you very much, guys. For Kirk Clark and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Poke Parhar. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV, happy hour.